It's our joy to be with you again and to sing praises to a wonderful Redeemer. This morning I had to tell you that I had to change my message. I'm changing it again tonight. After all we've sung and the thoughts that have been flowing into our minds tonight, I've had to change it. Let me ask you this question. Have you found rest in your soul? What do I mean by soul? Your entire being. I am not talking about a satisfied intellect, that you've managed to work out that the gospel of salvation is God sending Christ to come, suffer, bleed, and die instead of you so that you might be forgiven and reach one day heaven. Not just an intellectual understanding of the gospel, but the whole being. Are you listening? Transformed. A complete change. We could well have sung, "What a Wonderful Change in My Life," as, what is it? All right. Soul rest. A lot of people are in trouble now. A lot of people are going to be in trouble. I'm so glad to see young people here. I think if you listen carefully, you two lads and the young girl, I think you'll get something from God if you're expecting it. So we're going to look at the scripture. I'm going to stay in one passage. If I'd preached my other message, we would have gone to about six passages. And we'd probably be here till 9 o'clock tonight. But however, we're going to look in the gospel, Matthew's gospel. And the chapter is 15. 15th chapter of the gospel of Matthew. Now, one of the most terrible words to ever hear from the lips of Jesus Christ is the word hypocrite. Play actor. Pretender. One of the great men who broadcast on the radio, his name has gone from me at the moment, said that the thought is that we're either believing or pretending that we're believing. You see, and that's what a hypocrite is, really, you know, someone who's pretending, putting on an act. By your coming here tonight, do you really think that you're announcing that your soul is completely taken up with Jesus Christ? Of course not. So just an hour or so together, in the sweet, sweet presence of the one who promised to be here. Have you forgotten that, by the way? He's here tonight. The Lord God is here. He wants you to listen. It's the best thing you can ever do is to listen to his voice. Not so much the preacher, but the one who is behind the preacher, who is bringing the message through the preacher to you. It's vital. The Lord Jesus was upset beyond measure by hypocrisy. People who are pretending. And so we're coming in where he's speaking to them in verse 7. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, this people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Have you ever done that? I have. Be honest, you know? Have you ever found yourself singing things that are not really true about you? One of the worst men I've ever known in my life told me one day, my favorite hymn is "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Can you believe it? We become artists. We're so clever at cover up, aren't we? You know what the problem is? The heart. This is what God says about your heart. No matter whether you are 11, 12, 30, 40, 50, 20, 30, 40, 60, 70, 80. Your biggest problem, ladies and gentlemen, beloved believers in Christ, and those who aren't, your biggest problem is your heart. Because this is what God says, it's deceitful and desperately wicked or sick. It's ill, you've got an illness, and you are born with it. That's the terrifying thing about it. So we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. It is automatic that as soon as we be born, the Bible says, as soon as we be born, we go astray speaking lies. Who teaches a little child to tell a lie? It's in them. Terrifying. So the heart is deceitful and desperately sick. Who can know it? And thank God, Scripture says, the Lord. He knows the heart, and he tries the reins, and he can do something about it. Tell me, before I go any further, has God done anything about your heart till now? He called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. Oh, yes, this is what we've got to do. Hey, listen, we've got to do some thinking. It's about time that in this modern generation, with all its pressure on education, that we really sat down as Christians and started thinking, really start thinking about things. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. In doing this, you'll not only save yourself, but those who hear you. Oh, what a promise, isn't it? You've got to do some thinking. Hear and understand, says the Lord Jesus. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, that this defiles a man. Then came his disciples and said, do you know that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. I thank God tonight I am not following the blindness of religion with all its promised hopes of keeping the rules and joining this particular group of people who are supposed to be believing when their hearts are really far from the Lord. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said, declare to us this parable. Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Don't you understand that whatever enters in the mouth goes into the stomach and is cast out in the draught? Those things which come out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. You've been guilty of any of those things? I have. I am amazed that he should ever care for me. This is what lies in the heart of men. No matter how wonderfully, my dear friend, you may have sought to follow the Lord and cry to him daily, mightily in prayer, it is possible that your heart, if not worked upon by the Spirit of God and by the blessed Savior, out of it can still come all these evil things which spoil you and keep you from heaven. I'm going to shake you in a moment by showing you some scripture. Evil thoughts. That's how it all begins, isn't it? I was telling Brother Fred of a certain minister I knew who was mightily gifted and used of God, living in one of our major cities. Everybody respected him. He spoke at some of the most important conferences. But somewhere along the line, he had allowed his imagination and his mind to be taken over by evil thoughts. And instead of killing them, just like Daniel said to Belshazzar, Break off your sins. Instead of doing that, he allowed them to accumulate until they gradually began to take hold of him, and he couldn't resist any further and became a homosexual. Turned his back upon God. What is the end of that man? I don't know. May God have mercy upon him. But I'll tell you this. Evil thoughts begin all the problems that you will ever have in your life. What have we got in this list here? Murders. Have you ever felt you could kill anybody? You got really so angry with hatred welling up in your heart? Adulteries and fornication. Oh my, don't we need to say something about this today? We were horrified. My wife and I were absolutely horrified. We have our youngest grandson. Happened to be talking with grandma. And she suddenly realized that this dear lad, of only 10 years of age, was not aware that it was an evil thing for a man to ask someone or to receive someone into his bed unmarried. Living with someone, if you want to put it that way. Beloved, get this from God, please, will you? Fornicators and adulterers shall not enter the kingdom of God. The door to heaven and the presence of God forever in eternal bliss is forever shut upon those who are in adulterous condition. And a fornicator is excluded from the presence of God. Does that concern you? Does it? This is the world that we're living in. And people's minds are being taken over, and the media is responsible for it. I picked up a paper the other day. We don't have a paper in our home. I don't see there's any worth in them. But I picked up this paper because I wanted to see how things were in these days, you know. Picked it up and I was horrified because through it all, sex, 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 right the way through the whole thing. Wanting to completely take over the minds of people and damn them forever. Thefts. I have to confess to you, I've been a thief. I'm not at all pleased with this. From my earliest days, I began with stealing from my mother. Mind you, it didn't seem so bad because mother had a sweet shop and I went in and helped myself to sweets. That doesn't sound too bad. And no doubt mother wouldn't have forbidden me. But I went a bit further, you see. Once you allow temptation to take in, it begins to go further and further and further and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, have you experienced this? Have you? I had my hand in the till, stole from my mother, right? But then, of course, I went further and went to steal from the shops in the town. I don't enjoy saying this to you, but I'm telling you it's the truth. Thank God thieves can be saved. Thank God God can change the heart. Thank God for this. But the heart is the very seat, the being of all of us. And something must happen to the heart. It must be transformed. It must be changed. And only God can do this. I was repairing watches at one time. A young man came to me and said, "Will you repair my watch?" Well, I ended up talking about the Lord Jesus. And he told me years later what I'd said to him, and I'd forgotten all about it. He said, "You said to me, Les," he said, you said to me, "It's not your watch that needs fixing, it's your heart." It's true. And all of us need heart surgery by the Lord Jesus to deal with this wickedness that lies there ready to come up at any time, ready to take over at any time. It's a big job, this salvation we're talking about. We are not only talking about a ticket to heaven and glory, we are talking about deliverance from indwelling sin. That's what we're talking about. And the promise of victory. If only you would take the trouble to read your Bible, You will find there is promise of victory, because the Lord Jesus says to him that overcomes. Now what's the sense in him talking about overcoming if it is not possible for us to overcome by his grace and by his power, of course. None on our own. False witness? Oh, come on. Is there anyone here that has never told a lie? Come on. Liars are forbidden and will end up in the lake of fire unless by God's grace they are forgiven and the desire to lie will disappear from their hearts. That's a big message, isn't it? Very serious message. These are the things that defile a man. Now, I said I was going to maybe shake you a little bit, so I'm going to take you to the last book in the Bible. You know the two most important books in the Bible, the first and the last. When you got a book, what do? Do you miss out the first two or three chapters because you think it's not important? You say, no, I want to know what it's all about, the beginning. And do you not bother about the end? No. So God wonderfully informs us in the Genesis, the beginnings of things. And by the way, you want to know how to beat the devil? Are you listening? Do you want to know how to beat the devil and win over temptation? Study carefully how our great enemy began with that first man and woman, your mom and your dad, from way, way back. Study it carefully, and you'll find another wind, especially when you look at the Lord Jesus, who beat the devil in the wilderness. And how did he do it? By the word of God. That's how you beat him too. But Revelation, you listen to this, please. The nations of those who are saved shall walk in the light of it, I'm talking about the holy city of God. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise, we would say today, no way, they shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. So there you are. You want it a little bit more serious? Then you look at Revelation 19 and verse 8. Will you listen to this? The fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and all idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I don't find that pleasant reading. But this is my God speaking, isn't it? All these things in the heart, and they spoil and they exclude you from the presence of God. Now will you listen to me? I'm not just talking about heaven now. I'm talking about that these things, if allowed to breed in your heart, will exclude you from holy, glorious, joyous fellowship with Christ now, today, in your life. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Capital A. The Lord Jesus. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Isn't it wonderful? We have a lot to rejoice about. I'm rejoicing tonight. But I'm also very solemn, because it could be there's somebody here tonight. And you've got a very real problem with your heart. And you need the Lord to save you and deliver you from this cursed sin that gets a hold of your heart. Now we want help. So the Lord Jesus is now going to show us a beautiful little picture that's going to really help every one of us. Especially some of you a little bit sorrowful tonight, okay? That's why I changed my message. Verse 21. Then Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. But he answered, not a word. The Lord Jesus is burdened and saddened by the unbelief that he finds round and about him. And there comes to him a thought that 60 miles away, how would you like a walk to Leeds tonight? Would you like to come and walk to Leeds? Would you? There's a lad saying, yes, you're welcome. I'm not going to walk to Leeds. I'm a bit past that, I'm afraid. But our beloved Lord Jesus did most of his work walking, didn't he? And he suddenly says to his disciples, come on, we're going right up to the coast. 60-mile walk, right up to Tyre and Sidon. See? And he knows that there is somebody there with a great big burden and need. What she doesn't know is that she has this great burden of need for her daughter, who's in trouble with the devil in her life, but she doesn't know that the biggest need is her in her own heart. it's a beautiful thing. It's an absolutely beautiful thing. But you see, here's this woman comes out. Have mercy on me. This is a wonderful prayer. Surely this is the prayer that you would suggest that we pray tonight. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. But now she makes a mistake, and this is a mistake that you could be making, which I made as a youngster. She claimed the promise made only to the Jews. Son of David. Now what right has she got to use this? What right has she got, son of David? This is no leverage. This is no way of making the Lord Jesus want to come and help her by quoting, by calling upon him as the son of David. The wrong way. Now, a lot of us, we are mistaken in the way we approach God. Now, I approached God as a young boy, thinking that what I'd been taught was the truth, because I learned at school, as a lot of you did, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I automatically assumed, as I was told by so many people, that God was my father. It was a big day when I realized that he wasn't. You are of your father the devil. One of the most difficult things for me to start to believe when I was a young Christian was that my father and my mother belonged to the devil. Most difficult for me to understand that. And I think you will understand what I'm talking about now. But what I'm talking about, that there are two classes of people. Those who are children of God and those who are children of the devil. This is not me and my thoughts about it. This is my God speaking. We must face this. And when I prayed the prayer, do you think, really think, that I meant it when I said, hallowed be thy name, when I cursed his name. And every opportunity I would say, if I was surprised or angry, upset, oh God. And if I got upset and angry, I would say, oh for Christ's sake, why don't you? Now I'm using these words now, but I'm utterly different in my heart. I don't mean this as blasphemy, but the world's full of it. You can't move from it. The media is pouring it out all the time. Oh God this and oh God that and oh God the other. And this is terribly hurtful to God. And everyone who does it will give an account to God. He will not hold you guiltless who takes his name in vain. I did seriously so as a young person. Lovely day when I read what my God says in the scriptures about how to become a child of God. Beautiful day. Hope you know it. I've just taught my grandson this verse. The second verse he learned was, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Second verse, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become. You are not one automatically. I don't care whether your mother or father are wonderful Christians. It's not of blood, it's not of the will of man, it's not of the will of the flesh. You can't make yourself one, no one else can make you. But if God does it, how does he do it? He does it when you meekly come to Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, and he enters into your life and begins to change. A new heart will I give unto you. A new spirit will I put within you, saith the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God. I am amazed. It's funny, I've just changed the last hymn. It's now just changed it. We'll sing Amazing Grace. Is that okay? It is in the book, isn't it? Oh, I hope so. Well, now let's have a look at this carefully, shall we? Here is the Savior, and he doesn't answer this woman, because she hasn't got it right. So now he's going to try her faith. He's going to find out, really, whether this woman really means business. Now, listen to me very carefully. It may seem a simple thing, like for a young person, like our little girl and the boys there, a simple thing for them to bow their hearts and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Please save me. Come into my heart. Sounds a very simple thing. But really, the battle starts. Not an easy thing to be a Christian, to become a Christian, yes, but not to be a Christian. The battle begins. And the Lord tries us. Oh, he does. He'll try you. If you haven't had some trials already, you're going to get it. If need be, you are in manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, which is much more precious than gold, though it be tried in the fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. You're going to have troubles and trials. So you better get ready to be tested, you know. See what happens. Well, because the Lord doesn't answer straight away, because a few things have to be cleared up, is not an outright denial of his love and grace and mercy towards that woman. For after all, didn't he just travel 60 miles to see her? And isn't he going to turn on his heel and come back all the way to Galilee after it? Hey, this is pretty important, isn't it? And the test starts now. Let's see. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She cries after us. Now, this is quite serious. I do hope you will not forget what I'm about to share with you tonight on this issue. Do you care about people who are crying out for help? Now, of course, it's very different if someone comes to your door and says, oh, can you help me? I feel a terrible sinner and I want you. That's fair enough. You know, that's good. But what about the people out in the streets tonight who have a cry of help? There are some people who have had no love shown to them, and they're longing for love, and so they're embroiled in sexual perversion. Because they must get love somehow or other, and they can't find it. They don't know about the God of love. They don't know about the Lord Jesus, the risen, powerful Lord Jesus, who can come and live in their hearts. They don't know. So what do you do, beloved? What do you do? Send her away. She's a nuisance. Is that what you do? God help you. you get in the way. Don't get in the way. Every lost person who doesn't know the Lord Jesus has an aching void within their souls. They need rest in their souls. And they're aching, they're longing. So what do they try and do? Put something in that everybody else seems to be putting in, that seems to make them happy, but only for a little while, because you've got to pay again for it tomorrow morning. So we're talking about drugs, drink, whatever. Or the lottery, or do you want me to make a big list here? I don't know, but you know what I mean, don't you? What are you living for tonight, really? What is your life? What's it all about? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I've got some friends and they're very keen on computers and PlayStation and all this sort of thing. And all the time they're talking about, have you got this PlayStation, you've got this so-and-so. It's what they think about all the time. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what this poor old world of lost sinners needs is people who will go about displaying the love of God in care for people, to care enough for them, to warn them. Do you know, this is so vital. There's so little warning today. That is why I had to talk about the media and sex perversion, all these things. I don't find this pleasant to talk to. But my, the world's full of it, and my, we've got to make a stand. And if the leaders of the church don't say anything, at least you and I should, in our own little way, say something. Agreed? Let's say yes then. We must do it, beloved. Ezekiel 3 and 33. Both those chapters talk about the man who must give warning when he sees the dangers. And he says, listen, God speaking, warn them from me. Warn them from me. If they listen to you and turn, wonderful. James is happy about that at the end of his little letter. But if they don't listen to you, if you haven't warned them, then their blood will I require at your hand. And the Apostle Paul had this in mind when he was talking to the elders at Ephesus, when he said, I cease not to warn everyone. Are you listening? I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now that's effective witness. Warning night and day with tears. And in the same portion, he says these words, I am pure from the blood of all men. I've done my part. I've warned them with love. An understanding and sympathy, because we've all been through temptations. The Lord answers again, verse 24. He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not for you. My mission into the world, it has nothing to do with you. It's for the lost sheep of Israel. But this woman, the burden and need, is now beginning to move from her daughter, who has trouble with the devil. And by the way, you know that he's still doing his damnable work, don't you? The thief comes but for to steal and kill and to destroy. That's what he's out to do. But I'm come that they might have life more abundantly. And this woman is now realizing that she needs help. But she's also realizing something wonderful. She is realizing who the Lord Jesus is. Because she comes and she worships him. Then came she and worshipped him. And I'll tell you this, When you become more serious with God and recognize who He really is, that He is God, and you are depending upon Him for every little breath that you take, for that little thump, thump, thump of your heartbeat, you are totally dependent upon this great God of heaven who is a God of love. When you are realizing that it is God you're having dealings with, you know, not man, when you really realize this, then you will begin to understand His love, and you'll say, I'm amazed! I am amazed that He should care for me. She came and she worshipped Him. And three beautiful little words, Lord, help me. Oh, it's lovely. Sylvia and I go with some singers into the old people's homes, and I'll never forget this particular day we went into this home, and I preached on this, what they call the Syrophoenician woman. And I spoke about this dear woman crying to the Lord, Lord help me, Lord help me. I'll never forget at the end of my message when I finished praying, this woman called out loudly, Lord help me. I can hear it now. I can hear it now. Have you done that yet? Really? That problem you are facing all the time, the temptation that is getting a grip on your life. Will you come to the great God and say, Lord, help me, worship Him. Things are moving. Slow but sure, things are moving. Jansen said, it is not right to take the children's bread and to throw it to dogs. My, this is a bit of a rebuff, if anything, isn't it? You know what she does, this woman? So beautiful. Truth. That's true. Now, if tonight you reckon that you're pretty good, or you're not bad enough to be condemned by this message, you're out of line. You're condemned already if you're not a true believer in the Lord Jesus. Did you know that? Did you know that you do not have to do anything at all to be lost forever? Know that? Just stay as you are without the Lord Jesus. He that believes in Him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, so you're extremely foolish, to say the least, if tonight you're going to stay in your seat and say to yourself, I'm all right, really. I say our Father, or whatever. Truth. Amazing grace that saved a wretch. Are you? Just as I am without one plea, but thy blood was shed for me, just as I am poor, wretched, blind. Are you? I'll tell you this. There's more than great hopes for you if you're conscious of your sinfulness. Will you listen to a wonderful promise made by our great God in the prophecy of Isaiah? Listen to what He says. To this man, or this woman, to this man will I look, to him that is of a humble and contrite spirit, and that trembles at my word. It is right for every Christian to rejoice in the forgiveness and the goodness of God, but it is right also for every Christian to continue to be every day of their lives contrite, willing to admit that they're still sinful, contrite. And God says, I will look to that person because they are contrite, and I will use that person. That's an amazing thing. But again, I'm amazed. Truth, Lord. The dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Did I quote that correctly? The answer is no. The dogs will feed and will eat from the crumbs that fall from their master's table. If I have a dog, I'm your dog, Jesus. Do you get this? I think it's so beautiful. She's going to dare to plead there for the mercy and the grace and the help of a loving, wonderful Savior who come all that way just to meet her, and who after a few minutes is going to turn on his heel and go all the way back to Galilee. Is this a special night tonight? Yes. Because every night like this is special. The Lord is here. Oh, yes. She said, oh, to the Lord. But now God's going to say, oh. Oh, woman. Never forget that God feels things. He feels for you tonight if you sit in the seat and say, this is not for me. I don't want Jesus Christ living and reigning in my life. The whisper of the devil has been coming through fast and furious all along the week, you know. Have a good time, enjoy yourself, eat, drink, and be merry, and all that. And what you can do, beloved, on a night like this, is to say, it is true. I don't deserve your grace and your love and your kindness, Lord. But I'm coming to you, and I'm going to trust you no matter what you say about me, because I know deep within my heart, you love me, and you care for me. Truth, Lord. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Be it unto you as you will. In that moment, her daughter, the powers of evil go from her daughter. And that woman has rest. But she has rest first and foremost in her own heart. She's met with the God of heaven and glory. He's answered her prayer. She's conveyed her love to him. She's a different woman. This is what the grace of God does for us. Undeserved wretches, all of us. And the Lord Jesus turns on his heel. Comes all the way back to Galilee. Isn't that wonderful? We can think of other journeys that he made. He was going to Jerusalem and went through Samaria and met a woman at the well. Remember that story? Oh my. He knew she'd be there. The Lord knows that you'll be here tonight. Didn't he? He wants to meet with you. Really, really, really meet with you. To become your Lord and your Savior. And you become one of his special people. Wonderful. Now, time has gone pretty well. I could go on, but I dare not, really. Charles Haddon Spurgeon is one of the men who I greatly revere and love reading about. And he tells of an occasion when he went into his garden one day, and a dog had got through the fence and was jumping all over the vegetables and all over his flowers. And I'll tell you this, to say that he wasn't pleased he was angry. And he picked up a stick and threw it at the dog. Missed the dog, but the dog jumped forward, went to the stick, picked it up in his mouth, and brought it to Spurgeon and put it at his feet and sat there with his tail wagging, looking up at him. And Spurgeon says, "Something happened inside me," he said. "That dog's more than welcome to come into my garden anytime he likes." Don't you love that story? I love it. and the welcome that God will give to a prodigal son or daughter, or to some person who hasn't really responded to his call, who is not made whole. The welcome is amazing. You are welcome to come into the presence of God at any time. The veil in the temple has been ripped from the top to the bottom. The blood has been shed and sprinkled on you. Are you listening to me? And you are welcome to come to your Father. And His love will enfold you. And He will take you forward and give you victory over those temptations that surround you day by day. My, you need the Lord tonight. Come the right way. Come as a sinner. A wretch. Unworthy. Undeserving. Come like that to Him. And He'll embrace you. That's how He wanted you to come. Didn't want you to try to make yourself better before you came. Come just as you are. And He'll be a merciful and gracious and wonderful Savior and Lord.